If you have your Bibles this morning, look with me in the fourth chapter of St. John's Gospel. I think it's, well, they ain't got it up there, but anyway, it's fourth chapter of St. John's Gospel this morning. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 7. And this sort of goes right along with what Brother Larry was a teaching on this morning, on the communion and so on and so forth. But when you find it in chapter 4 of 1 John, I may have said St. John, but it's 1 John. 1 John, known as Little John. I've been to Edinburgh, Larry. Don't be making fun at you. 1 John. 1 John, chapter 4. Everybody's found it. Say amen real loud.
Amen.
All right. Verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might through him live. Herein is love, not that we, listen to this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." How much? "And he sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Amen?
Amen.
That's some word, ain't it? "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him." See, you can know. "And he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
Yeah, come on, brother.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Yeah.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is as are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Verse 19, I like this. "We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment," now this is a commandment, "have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Ricky, ask the blessing on God's word.
Thank you, Lord. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, thanks, Lord, for the reading of your word this morning, dear God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one, Father, to come this way to hear your word this morning, dear God. Father, I pray, Lord God, Lord, for the speaker this morning. Father,
yes, Lord.
God, did you touch him this morning? Father,
Lord, anoint this place this morning. Anoint this preacher this morning, God, this servant of your God. Anoint him, Lord. Father, anoint this whole congregation. Just open up heaven this morning, God, and just pour us out a blessing here today, God. Father, one another this morning. Oh, God, have you what? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I pray, Lord God, that you give us a miracle to him.
Yes,
Lord. Jesus' name, I pray. Yes, Lord.
Amen. I titled the message, I think, I don't see it up there this morning. I guess it didn't get on, but I titled the message this morning, God's Great Gift to Us. And the reason I did that, when I was sitting there reading, and I thought this week I've read off and on, read, and I thought that, you know, I had two or three messages until yesterday, and I sat down there and I got to reading this. I got thinking about Thanksgiving holidays, got to thinking about Christmas coming up just ahead of us. And you know, I don't know what you think about Christmas, but I think it's too socialized.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe that that's the most depressing time of the year for many people. When it really should be the most joyous time. You say, well, why do you feel that way, preacher? Because people run to, they forget about what Christmas is all about. They do. They worry about what can I get this one? What can I get that one? Reckon they will like this. Reckon they will like that. I've just got so that I tell my wife over the years, she has worried me. Go somewhere shopping with her, and she will look at something. Do you think so-and-so will like this? Well, yeah, they'll like that. Well, I don't know whether they like it or not, and so on and so forth. I thought I was the only wife that... Now, I didn't know this was coming, huh? I thought I was the only one had a wife like that, shopping. But I've had men to tell me, my wife, she'll go shopping. I want me to take her shopping, and she'll look at something, don't know whether they like it or not, and she'll go on, and she'll go back and look at the same thing probably three or four times before she buys it. Now, none of you women ain't that way, ain't you? When you see something, I'm going to buy this whether they like it or not. But so, I just tell her anymore, look, I don't know what the kids need. I don't know what they want. Just give them money and let them get what they want, and then I'll be satisfied, and they can be satisfied. Amen? But you know, and I said that to say this. You know, the greatest gift that any of us can receive at Christmas time is a gift of Jesus Christ. There is no greater gift today that can be given than what God has already given to you and me this morning. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting kids present and this and that, but I've raised three kids, well, the three of my own, and I've had, I don't know how many I've raised. Used to, you'd think that I was running a hotel or a little house Saturday morning. But you know, I've seen them, and I still see it happening today when I'm around. Kids, you get kids, these kids, oh, you just can't seem to buy them enough.
Right.
Can't seem to buy them enough. Now, your kids may not be this way, but mine is, and I know some is because I've been around. And these little bitty kids, they'll open up a gift and they'll look at it a little bit, and then they'll throw it aside and they'll reach and get another.
Amen.
It's just like enough is never enough.
Amen.
Amen. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning?
Amen,
I'm going to preach here in a minute when I quit meddling. But I've seen it happen. And I've seen these little kids, after they open up a bunch of presents, a pile just everywhere of them, I've seen them crawl off over and get an old box or something and crawl up in it and go to playing in a box or get some paper rattling it, something, anything to make racket, you know. If they like to make racket, get them a bunch of rattlers and put one in each hand, you know. If you like to hear that. But what I'm saying is, we need to keep our priorities straight.
Amen.
And so, you know, I was sitting there, and just like God said to me this morning, he said, son, he said, I want to know the three most important things in your life. And I said, what, God? He said, I want just... Name me three of the most important things in your life. And I sat there and I thought about it. And I, you know, and number one was very easy to answer, because God is number one in my life. Is he number one in anybody else's life? He's number one in my life. And he should be in your life. And number two is my wife and my family. Amen. That is the number two most important thing in my life. First is God, then my family. And when I say family, I mean my brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts, all of that. And then number three is my other family, which is my church family.
Amen.
So God, family, and church. If you can get them three lives and work on them three things, that's all you really need to live a happy and a joyful life. Amen? Love, people really don't know what the word love means anymore. Amen? They don't know what love is. A lot of people think love is just buying anything that they want, somebody wants. They think just love is just, you know, Brother Mark patting them on the back and telling them that it's all right to do this and to do that. That's not love. That's not love. You cannot buy love with money. Amen. You can't buy love with material things. So you might as well to forget it. You can't buy love, because love is free. Love is free. You can love me all you want to, hey man, and it won't cost you a penny. It won't cost you a penny. So John here was writing to the churches, and he said, "Beloved," which was to the church, "let us love one another." So that is what God says, that we are to love one another. Brother Larry, when the Bible says it, I believe it, don't you?
Amen.
The Bible says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So if we don't love one another, and we may say that we love God, but if we don't love one another, then we're lying. That's what the Bible says. We're lying if we don't love one another, because God is love. You say, "Well, I love everybody." And the next thing I know, they're telling me, "Did you hear about so-and-so, what he said about you? Did you hear about so-and-so, what he said about the church?" Just like Brother Lars talked this morning. If we love one another, we're not going to get out of here and try to tear one another down. We're going to go to one another. As that little girl, Connie's little niece, I believe, was said, God has rules. And one of the rules is, if the Bible says, if we have ought against somebody, that we, like I said, we should go to them first. But it says, make sure that you're where you need to be when you go to them. Because if you're not where you need to be, hey man, and if you're not as religious as you say you are, chances are they're going to lead you out there where they're at. But he said, check yourself, make sure you're where you need to be, and then go to them and talk to them. And in the book of Matthew, I believe it is, the Bible says, if they won't listen to you, for one to go to them, the one that you have a problem with, talk to them. And if they don't listen to you, then take two or three more with you from the church and go and talk to them. And if they don't hear you, then bring them before the church to shame them. And if they won't hear the church, it don't say run them off or get rid of them. It said treat him as one, let him sit in the congregation and let him listen until he repents.
Amen.
That's love. I've had people tell me, "Well, brother, you preached on me. You don't love me. You preached on me." I say, no, if I preached on you and it come out of the Word of God, if you feel like I hit you, I said, if it did, it was because I love you, because I love God, and God gave me what to preach. And so you can't argue with God, you know. And people, see, sometimes people, they don't know what love is. You know, the Bible says, the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, the Bible says this, the Bible says, those that God loves and are his, he's going to do what? He's going to chastise them. That's what the Word of God does, amen. I've had preachers this week, people this week to tell me, Brother Alf, if you ever quit preaching the truth, ever quit preaching the Bible, if you ever quit getting on my toes, so to speak, and if you quit, then you can't help me. I'm going to find somewhere else to go. You know, now people that way, they love God. It's these people that don't know God and evidently don't love God is the people that gets mad when God tells them to do something and then they rebel again. You're not rebelling against this pastor. If God's word says it, you're rebelling against God, amen. And you can't have any happiness as long as you're rebelling against God. Some pretty good stuff, Brother Mark. So he said in verse 9, he said, in this was manifested or brought to light the love of God toward who?
Us.
Toward us. Now listen what happened. This is the way God showed his love to us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. How much did God love us? He loved us enough. Brother Larry, he sent his only begotten Son into the world to be murdered, to be beaten and hung on an old rugged cross. He didn't have to do it. But when he hung on that cross, it proved his love toward you and me. Amen. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 8, brother, the Bible says when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He needs a hand of praise for that. We need to start praising him and glorifying him more and more when we come into God's house. We shouldn't come in here and sit down like we're half dead or half asleep. We need to come in. Why? Because we've come in to worship a risen Savior this morning. This is his house. He's the leader of this house. And if we would only do his half as much for God as he's done for us, I'm going to tell you, that would please God. Amen. It said, so he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might through him live. Herein is love. Listen to this, verse 10. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to take our place, so to speak. To take our place, take our punishment. You see, we're all guilty of sin. Amen. We don't need to just sit here and look like, that we're innocent as little virgins. We don't need to be sitting here looking like sometimes that there is no sin in us. When the Bible says that we all sin and we all come short of the glory of God. The point is we don't fail. The point is what do we do about it when we do fail? We don't cover it up. You can't put it on a block and bury it so deep in the sea that it's not going to be brought to light. You can't dig a hole and bury it deep enough that it's not going to be. You could take it to the moon and you still can't hide it from God. Amen. And the only way we're going to ever have a life And I'm talking about a joyful life. It's when we just simply get to the point in our life that we realize who we are and we realize who God is. Amen. And until we realize the love of God that He had bestowed upon each and every one of us when we was not worthy. Amen. We're not going to get to heaven this morning. Brother Bill, on our righteousness, I'm not going to get there because I'm Pastor Ralph Foster. I'm not going to get there because I preach. I'm not going to get there by my righteousness because my Bible tells me, amen, that our righteousness is filthy as rags. Your righteousness, I'm going to tell you about righteousness. Your righteousness and my righteousness is filthy as rags this morning. So I'm not going to get there on my righteousness. I'm going to get there on God's righteousness. And I'm going to get there on God's grace this morning. And that grace is nothing but love this morning. And because I'm trying, I may be struggling every day, but I'm trying, John, to do the best I can. And I know that one day when I stand before God, if I hold true to God, I know I'm going to hear them words, "Welcome home, my true and faithful servant." Yeah. It's not your righteousness this morning. People, some people think they're more righteous and more holy than anybody else. You're righteous. There's no such a thing as your righteousness. If you think you're righteous, that's self-righteous. And don't be fooled by it. Amen. Because there ain't but one righteous, and that's God. Amen. Amen. We all fail. We all come up short.
Yes, every one of us, brother.
Some people just don't trust God, John, when they start out serving the Lord. They just don't trust God. Because the devil's coming at us. He's coming at all of us. That's what he does. He's come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly this morning." So the battle ain't on. I'm telling you, the closer to the end gets, the harder the battle. It's heating up, church. I said it's a heating up. If you're out here in this world, and right over there sits a man can tell you, it's a heating up. Things is getting worse and worse. Let me tell you, the Bible says, you know, he's going to come a falling away. I see that happening every day, amen. And the Bible said, because sin will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And you got something right there can tell you how much love is out there in the world today. He can tell you how much righteousness is out there today. I'm going to tell you, when you see parents and people will blame the kids for it. Let me tell you, we need to quit blaming the kids for a lot of this stuff and start blaming the parents, because some of the parents is doing the same thing, and that's where these kids are learning it from. I know I'm out there, and these little kids, and what breaks my heart, these little kids, I've seen them at Walmart. I've seen it when I used to work around places. I've seen it. I've heard it. These little kids, little children don't even now know what it means. The language coming out of their mouth. I had a daddy one time of a little boy done a lot of cussing, and he said, "I'm going to bust his, you know what." I said, "You need to wait just a minute." I said, "Where did he learn that from?" His daddy's doing the same thing, and probably mother. I'm going to tell you, if it's mine, it's mine. And if they're guilty, they're guilty. And I'm not going to pat them on the back and tell them, "Praise God, it's all right." I'm not going to tell my kids it's all right. And I'm not going to tell your kids it's all right to bring up their children, hey, man, to do such a thing. These little kids, I hear them sometimes, y'all, can cuss the hinges, so to say, off from the door. And I sat there, and I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for the little kids. They don't even know what they're saying, but they have heard it, and guess what they've heard it at? They ain't heard it in church. They've heard it from their parents. Amen. That is not love. Then you tell me you love your kids when you teach them these things. No, don't tell me you love your kids when you tell them you go out here and do anything and live any way they want to live. Don't tell me you love your kids, because you don't. The Bible says if you love your kids, you'll bring them up in the ways of the Lord. And you'll tell them about Jesus Christ. You'll tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. You'll be telling them more about Jesus than you will about Santa Claus, old Saint Nick and the reindeers. Amen. I guarantee you, most kids know more about old Santa Claus, and they can tell you more about Santa Claus than they can tell you about Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, why don't you shut up?" I can't. I didn't want that to come out to start with. But that's coming from God. Beloved, if God so loved us, ought we not also to love one another? He just asked some simple questions there. Amen? Some simple questions, all the Bible is asking them. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then let's say God dwelleth where?
In us.
He said over in John 4:24, he told that little woman at the well. She said, oh, we worship in them mountains. He said, lady, let me tell you something. He said, there's coming a time, and it's now. He said, you'll neither worship God in the mountains or in Jerusalem. He said, but if you worship God, you're going to worship Him from the heart. You're going to worship Him in spirit and truth. Why? Because God is a spirit, and if you worship Him, you're going to worship. You cannot worship God in the flesh. Amen? I've seen people try to do it. All they are is just making a mockery. Amen? All they are, you could tell, I can tell singers when they get up and sing, if they really know what they're singing about, if they're just there to put on a show. Amen? I'm not up here to put on a show this morning. If I was, I'd be on Broadway somewhere or another. I'm up here to tell somebody about the love of Jesus Christ this morning. I'm up here to tell you what Jesus said in order for us to get to heaven. You say, well, I do part of this, I do part of that. Jesus said, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. Amen? If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. And he went on here, and he said in verse 14, he said, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He said, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So we confess this morning that he is the Son of God. You know, you can't confess that unless you know it for sure. Amen. Jesus said there'll come a time, he said, you will praise me with your lips, but he said, your heart is far from me. I'm telling you what, sometimes it's a heartbreaker when you go to church. You've worked all week, studied all week, amen, to try to help somebody, and you come to church, and people sit around texting on their phone. They sit around and whisper, and they jump up and run all over the house. You say, oh, we should have stayed in Edinburgh. Well, I'm starting to wish that myself sometimes. Let me tell you something, friends. When we come to church, and you get up here and you look over a congregation, it would scare some of you to death to see what you see. If you think I'm lying to you, you're welcome to come up here anytime. And there's a bunch of seats right here, and just sit and watch over the congregation. You can sit up here and you can tell who is really here to have church and who is really not. You can tell who loves the Lord and who really don't. Because if we love God, it's going to show, amen. And if he's in here, and it's got to be in here before he comes out here. So if it's in here and you ain't got nothing, it ain't going to come out here. But if you believe this, it's going to come out here. Amen. I've come to praise the Lord this morning. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised. I love him. Why do you love God? Because he loved me first. How much did he love me? More than I loved him. I didn't die for him. He died for me. I've got a right to praise him. Amen. I've got a right to praise him. I'm going to praise him. I'm talking about love. You know, there's a difference in love and lust. A lot of people don't know there's any difference in it. There's as much difference in love and lust as they are daylight and dark. Lust only lasts for a little while. Love will cover a multitude of sins. What the Bible says. It said, and we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Aren't you glad this morning that God dwells within you? I'm glad I'm not serving a statue this morning. Amen. I'm glad that I'm not serving a statue this morning. I'm glad that I don't have no golden images of anything. Because when I go sometimes here and there, if I had a big gold image of something or another, it would worry me to death because I ain't got a big safe to put it in. Be afraid somebody'd steal it. Amen. I'm glad that I don't have any of these images. Amen. That I've got to worry about somebody stealing. Because I've got the real thing this morning. I've got God. I've got Jesus Christ in my heart. And nobody ain't going to steal Him. You know why? Because He lives within me. The only way that anybody else can have Him, have my Jesus, is if I get tired of Him and I put Him out. I've had Him 35 years now, and I ain't getting tired of Him yet. I love Him more today than I did 35 years ago. How do I love Him more today? Because I've learned more about Him. Amen. I've learned more about Him. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't walk out the door today without Jesus. Amen. I rode to Indiana, and I'm 71 years old, and I ain't the best driver in the world anymore. Can't see good, can't hear good. Amen. But I tell you what, when I get in that automobile and I start anywhere, I don't care if I just go to town, and it's about as dangerous going to town around the square here as it is out on 65 anymore. Amen. But I won't go nowhere and leave Jesus at home. I'm not ashamed. Snowbird, I'm not ashamed to take Jesus. Wherever I go, I'm not ashamed to take Jesus with me. Because, brother, I ain't going to be in them places. I have been in places. Lord, I wouldn't have took Jesus in them places for nothing. I wouldn't. A lot of people say, well, if I want to go to this or go to that or do this, I'll just leave Jesus at home. I'll tell Him, I'll pick Him up the door next Sunday morning when I go into church. It don't work that way either. It don't work that way either. He said, I'll dwell in you, and you can dwell in me. I'll be your father to Him. And you can be my sons and daughters this morning. We love Him because He first loved us. Oh, there's so many people out there today that's got a mindset the devil's put in there that they can live any way they want to live and go to heaven. Friends, I'm here to tell you it ain't going to work that way. You can't live for the devil and serve the devil 6 days a week and think you can come in here on Sunday morning or go anywhere on Sunday morning and everything's going to be all right with you. It just don't work that way. First of all, you will never enjoy the joy that Jesus Christ has for you. You young people, you listen to me this morning, young people. You enjoy the joy and the blessing that God has for you. As long as you've got that mindset, well, I ain't around mom and daddy, I'm going to do what I want to do. And they ain't going to find out. If they do find out, they can't do nothing about it. They may not, but God can. And you're just going to grow up. You're going to grow up with that mindset, doing it your way. You're going to grow up with that mindset, and you're going to spend the most miserablest life that is possible. You say, how do you know? I've been there. I've done it. And I know. You say, well, I've got to find out for myself. Go for it. Go for it. But I'm going to tell you something, there's a price to pay.
Yes, there is.
If you think they're not, just go around to any jail you want to go to.
Come on.
Any of them. Let them take you down there, spend one night. Some of you that's never been there, I'll guarantee you, when the next morning you'd be a begging to get out of there.
Yeah, right.
All some can sit and grin at me if they want to and make fun of me. But I'm just telling you. So don't come crying to this preacher. You say, well, why didn't you tell me about that? So I'm telling you this morning. You better be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You better love Him. Because He loved you. He loved you. The world will gobble you up and spit you out. It will. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what nobody said. I don't care what the preacher said. I don't care what the Sunday school teacher says. I don't care what my parents said or my grandparents said. I'm going to do it my way. Go ahead and do it your way.
It don't work, sir.
But I'm just going to tell you there's a great price to pay for it. Great price. Jesus loves you this morning. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care if it's your first time here or your 100th time or 1,000th time. Jesus loves you. I don't care what kind of background you've got. Jesus loves you. I don't care how deep out in sin you have been or maybe still are in. Jesus loves you. And when you feel, you may be sitting here this morning and feel like there is no love. You have nobody to love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. If you've tried everything else and you've not found any peace and joy, this morning you can find it right here. Right here. Just one little talk with Jesus. You say, preacher, I really don't know how to pray. You make that first step and you'll know how, because God will take you by the hand. You got to make the first step on your own. God ain't going to drag you out. He's not going to slap you upside the head and jerk you out. He's not going to do that. But if you stand here in a minute and you make that first step, I'll promise you, you'll feel something in your hand. And He'll walk right up here with you. And He'll explain to you exactly what you got to do. About 1 minute. And Jesus, give your life for just 1 minute to Jesus. Just 1 minute. And He will change your life. I promise you that. Instead of having a sad life, an unknowing life, in 1 minute He can give you a life. A life that you don't know exists. The world don't have that life to give you. Only Jesus has it. Only Jesus can give you this life. Would you come this morning just as you are? The end of the year is drawing near. It's drawing near. And just maybe somebody's realized that they've lost their joy. Christmas coming up. Christmas coming up. Won't you do as David done? He prayed, Lord, I know I've not lost my salvation, but I've lost the joy of my salvation. If you've lost your joy of your salvation, that don't mean you've lost God. It means you've lost your joy. And I'm going to tell you something. There is joy in the Lord. There's joy in the Lord. If you've lost your joy, if you've got a need, whatever it is this morning, I want you to come this morning. And Danielle reminded me to tell you all that there's a paper back there at the back, and they're going to be ringing the bell this year again down at Tractor Supply. And if you'd like to ring that bell, share Christmas with somebody, go down and ring that bell. And they'll put your name down. Let's really share Christmas with somebody this year. Somebody that you know, and I'm sure we all know, somebody that we can go and share a little Christmas with. Go to the nursing home and share it with some of them people. Let's share the love of Jesus Christ to all of those. Let's not be selfish and just keep it all ourselves. Let's share Jesus. There's enough of Jesus to go around. Would you stand with us this morning? Heads bowed. You just talk to Jesus. Just bow your head and you and Jesus. Y'all have this conversation. And if you feel like you've drifted a little too far, we'll pray with you if you want us to pray with you. I'll pray with anybody. I don't care who you are. I'll pray with you. Just come just as you are.
Beyond the crystal sea, and it shines for those who long to see. Oh, what a city Jesus went to prepare, where the half has never yet been told of a view beyond the streets of gold. Oh, what a gathering when God calls us home. But first of all, I'll see Jesus, Lord and King, the one who died and gave His life for you and me. Oh, I'll shake hands with all the saints shout through the ages.
Thing all right, back through
on
here.
On that Hallelujah Square. Bells are ringing, angels singing, loved ones gathering. Oh, what a meeting! There's Mom and Daddy with their arms open wide. There's dear old Grandpa with Grandma singing, praise to the Lamb of God. It's just the beginning of a brand new life when God calls us home. But first of all, I'll see Jesus, Lord and King, the one who died and gave his life for you and me. Oh, I'll shake hands with all the saints of old in a land where we will never grow old. Shout through the ages on that Hallelujah Square. With their arms open wide. There's dear old Grandpa with Grandma singing, praise to the Lamb of God. It's just the beginning of a brand new life when God calls us home. But first of all, I'll see Jesus, Lord and King, the one who died and gave his life for you and me. Oh, I'll shake hands with the saints of old in a land where we will never grow old. Shout through the ages on that Hallelujah Square.